Good morning. It's 8 minutes after the hour, and that music lets you know that Bill English is in studio. Power of Love. Bill, welcome.
Hey.
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 Hey, it's been fabulous.
Yes, I'm here all evening, people.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about debt. Let's talk about the national debt, but also let's start on a micro level. Let's talk about personal debt. Let's talk about debt in general.
Debt in general. Yeah. You want to try avoid it.
Okay.
You want to try to avoid it.
What about when we just don't have money and we need stuff?
Yeah, well, there is good debt and there's bad debt.
Please explain the difference.
The good debt is when you go into debt either because you really, really need something, mm-hmm. like you need to buy groceries or you need medical care or something like that, or you're buying a house, an asset that's going to appreciate, that kind of thing.
Yep.
Bad debt is going into debt for an evening at P.F. Chang's or buying another tie or shirt or something like that, stuff that you don't need.
Mm-hmm. I was at an event sitting next to a guy, and he introduced himself as Paul Fleming. And he told me after a bunch of talk, I said, well, so what do you do for a living? He goes, I'm in the restaurant business. I go, oh. I go, well, what's your restaurant? He goes, P.F. Chang's.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You were with the owner of P.F. Chang's?
I was, yeah. Paul Fleming, P.F.
P.F.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah, I'm not name dropping because I want to be considered cool.
So I wonder why it isn't called Fleming's instead of Chang's.
Because Chang was the chef.
Oh, Chang was the chef?
Yes. Yes.
I did not know that.
Yes, Chang was the chef that started with Paul, started the restaurant business.
Huh.
Yeah.
You know, you learn something new every day, don't you?
Generally not from me, but you do learn things if you listen to Faith Radio. All right, but let's talk about personal debt. Let's talk about what it's like when someone comes to you and says, would you help co-sign on a car for me?
You don't do that because Proverbs has a verse in there, and I can't think of the citation right now, but Proverbs has a verse that says you shouldn't co-sign for loans. Now, that's the Bill English paraphrase.
Okay, it's Proverbs 17:18, Proverbs 22:26, and Proverbs 11:15.
Wow.
Yeah, that was Rebecca Maxwell that found that.
Oh, she did. Way to go, Rebecca.
She's got a steel trap brain.
She does.
Yeah, she does.
Yeah, she's great.
She's got Google. That's what she's got.
You got Google.
I got you, babe, Google.
But as we, as kids start to learn about debt, at what point do you say to them, I will help shoulder you through the debt process so you understand what good debt is and what bad debt is?
You know, I started that with my kids when it's time to go to college. Because I think what we're doing to our young people through college loans is immoral. And it is wrong to put college students into debt $30,000, $40,000, $50,000, $60,000. And so what I did was I took an amortization schedule to my son and I said, look, if you just borrow $10,000 a year for 4 years of school and you come out, here's $40,000. Here's how much you're going to have to pay. And I think if I remember right, the payments were something like $700, $750 a month. Now, in order to pay that, you're going to have to earn about $1,100 a month because you're going to have to pay taxes first.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you figure that $12,000 to $14,000 right off the top of whatever it is you're going to make is going to go to student debt. And then I said, and that $14,000, your first job is probably going to be $35,000, maybe $40,000.
Mm-hmm.
So really your first job is, I don't know, $25,000, $28,000, really.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're going to go get another $1,000 a month, an apartment. And I just walked him through it. And he, after that, he was a lot more interested in not having debt. So our challenge right now in the English household is how do we get our two kids, David, who's 20, and Anna, who's 18, how do we get them through college without debt?
Mm-hmm.
Now, and part of the reason it's such a sensitive topic for me is because I went through college and in through seminary and accumulated a truckload of debt, which still is hurting me today in some ways.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want my kids to make the same mistakes that I made.
Mm-hmm.
I don't mind making them and using them as illustrations to my kids, but I don't want them to be in the same boat I'm in.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about your experience even as a kid, though, because kids, one of the big arguments is at what age does a kid get a smartphone? And they say, wait until 8, which is 8th grade. But kids are getting smartphones when they're in 6th grade, and I'm just trying to move it up the ladder
so
a little bit.
So what my dad did with cars
was
when I turned 16, my dad said, you have a year to drive the family cars and you need to work and save up. Whatever you save up, I'll match, he said. And that's how much you have to buy a car.
Now, so you got your first car at 17?
I got my first car at 17.
So you must have been the coolest kid in eighth grade.
Dude, I had a 1970 Sport Fury, a Plymouth Sport Fury. Ooh. With a 383 four barrel.
Are you kidding me?
It was a boat.
That thing went, didn't it?
Yeah. I drove it too hard and actually ruined the engine in it. My dad just about killed me.
It got about 12 feet to the gallon?
Yeah, no, 13. 13 and a half feet.
Yeah. So that thing went.
It did. It was a wonderful
car.
So
there was a lesson your dad was trying to teach.
Yeah.
Saying, let's learn from this.
Let's work, let's save, and then let's spend.
So
that's what he was trying to do.
There was delayed gratification as well.
There was.
Yes. And how much money did you save?
I saved up about, I was able to save up about $400.
Okay.
And my dad matched it, and we had $800 to spend. And if I remember right, the car cost about $650, $675.
Yeah. So and then money, they just had money laying around, didn't you?
No, the rest of it went into insurance for the first year.
Okay.
So, but that's back in the late 70s, right?
Yeah.
I'm dating myself a little
bit.
That's
all right.
But that was back in the late 70s. So debt is something that what you really need to teach and what I've been teaching my kids, and there are variations on this theme, take 100% of your after-tax dollars because you're not going to get away from taxes.
Mm-hmm.
Get 100% of your after-tax dollars, save 10%, tithe 10%, and live on 80%.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do that consistently throughout life, you really should not have a whole lot of money problems.
Mm.
What happens, what the problem is when you try to live on 95% and tithe 10% and not save anything.
Who said, it's very wise, make as much money as you can, save as much money as you can, and give away as much money as you can?
To my knowledge, that was John Wesley.
Was that John Wesley?
Yeah, John Wesley.
Yeah, it's a good line, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It is. And In the larger scheme of things, we're only on this earth for what, 70, 80 years,
mm-hmm.
maybe 90 tops.
Mm-hmm.
And this earth has been around a long time and is going to be around a while, at least till the Lord comes. And so it seems to me that investing in the kingdom by giving away your wealth is something that all of us ought to be interested in who claim to be disciples of Jesus Christ.
Yes. Now, if you have a question about debt and you're trying to figure out something in that department, give us a call, 1-877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. Or if you want to ask more anonymously, you can email me, bill@myfaithradio.com. We'll be back in a minute with Bill English.
And the sunlight hurts my eyes. Something without warning bears heavy on my mind.
Eighteen minutes after the hour. Good morning. You know, it's just stuff. And debt can create problems, and you're just getting more stuff. And I'd like to quote a guy who I did some mentoring under, named Walt Hendrickson, who went to be with the Lord a couple of years ago. But he said this, and this has stuck with me: God makes you an incredible offer. You can give your life in exchange for the same thing for which Jesus spent his life: people. People last forever, for good or bad. They are eternal. Spend your life helping them prepare for eternity. Don't give your life to mediocrity. Life is too short, and the issues of eternity too significant. Ta-da.
Very good.
I think it's great. I think it's great. So let's talk about a debt, Bill, and the guilt that's associated with debt. It's a form of bondage for a lot of people, a lot
of Christians. I think debt is a form of bondage for our entire churches. When you figure up that most people who claim to be disciples of Jesus Christ give an average of 2 to 2.5% of their income to the church, you know something is wrong. And
mm-hmm.
I think the reason that most of them do that is simply because they don't feel like they can afford to tithe 10%.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have really an entire generation. And maybe even multiple generations where they're not tithing well because they have so much debt and they're spending money in so many places that they really don't need to.
So the guilt that's associated with debt, and it becomes a I'm trying to look for the word, a a debilitating sort of thing for a lot of people.
It does.
And then I guess paralysis, debilitation, whatever words we want to use, makes it horrible.
It does. When you have debt and you don't feel like you can do what you normally would like to do with the people that you love, that can become both a distancing, a separator, a debilitator, a number of elements there that goes on inside of you, because there's a part of you that knows that you could do better, but you're not doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that is going to produce guilt in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, if you do have debt or if you just like to call in anonymously, you're welcome to give us a call. Bill, I don't have the number.
That's all right. I know it. It's 1-877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. Debt's a very difficult subject for a lot of people, and we all know people who are financially completely upside down. And what do we do? How do we help?
Well, the first thing I think that the church and those of us who are Christians should not do is to blame them any more than we would blame somebody who is caught in any other kind of sin. So I think we always need to be showing love to these people and acceptance, but then we need to come along beside them and show them how to do a better way. Look, if you're in a lot of debt this morning, I can tell you that I have made a lot of mistakes financially, and I've been paying the price for a long time, along with my lovely wife, who has never complained, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
You want to know how you have a great wife?
Yeah.
She never complains about the crap that you give her in life.
Mm-hmm.
Can I say that on the air? I probably shouldn't have, but
yeah,
I'm sorry.
It's too late now.
Yeah.
You said it.
But I have a wonderful wife, and Kathy has never complained. She just goes with the flow. I will tell you this. Today can always be the fresh start. Today can be the day when you start to do things right.
Mm-hmm.
And if you start to live below your means and start to pay off your debts over time, you can become debt-free, or at least become in a place where the debts are always only against appreciating assets.
So do you have a lesson in particular that you would feel comfortable sharing with our listeners from an experience with debt that didn't go well, or a spending thing? And of course, I put you on the spot, so I apologize.
Yeah, no, that's fine. I think the core lesson that I have learned about debt is that you need to be smart about the kind of debt that you bring in. So you need... If you're going to go into debt, is it going to generate revenue 3, 4, 5 times what the debt is? And that's my business side coming out. The personal side coming out is this. If you're going to go into debt, is it against an appreciable asset? Now, there are some things we go into debt for that we can't help, like a car. You go into debt for a car, it's just the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
Our economy is built that way.
Yeah.
But to the extent possible, you don't go into debt for things that you can't that aren't going to be appreciating.
Yeah, Bill, we have a couple of minutes left. We have
sure.
a caller on the line. Seal from St. Paul is calling in with a comment or a question. Good morning, Seal.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm well, thanks. Do you have a question for Bill?
Oh, that's good. Yes, I do. I am getting married. I'm older. And my husband and I each have our own debt load, and I'm wondering how we can get married and keep our debt load separate so that he doesn't have to share mine, I don't have to share his. Or do you think it's better if we try and work together?
I think it's better that you try to work together. If God is calling the two of you to become one, literally one flesh, I think that that has ramifications throughout your entire marriage. It's not just one physically and emotionally and mentally, but not financially. I think you got to put the financial piece together. I would also advise you guys, if possible, to live well below your means for the first few years of your marriage and get your debts under control. And the reason for that is that the stress and the conflict that debt can create in a marriage, especially a new one, and if you're older, I'm suspecting that this might be your second marriage. I would not put that stress on my marriage. I would figure out the debt thing, because it is a bondage that could ruin your second marriage if you guys aren't smart with it.
Okay. Wonderful. Thank you.
And Seal, congratulations, and thank you for calling in.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you very much.
God bless you.
God bless you.
Yep. Well, Bill, I'm convinced that Seal is speaking for a lot of people.
Yeah, she is.
There is a lot of people that show up with debt in relationships, and they go, "What do we do with my side? What do we do with your side?"
Yeah, you look at the younger people coming out of college, and one has $40,000 and the other has $30,000. Together, they got $70,000. How are they going to buy a house? How are they going to start a family? I think this is one of the reasons why you find younger people waiting until their mid-30s to buy homes and start families. Mm-hmm. They just can't afford it.
Mm-hmm.
And so this debt thing also keeps us from being available for ministry. If you're going to go on, you know, my son is looking to go to seminary and then go into the ministry.
Mm-hmm.
He can't come out of seminary with debt like I did. I came out of a seminary with debt. I couldn't even look.
How were you going to pay for your seminary education, though?
You know, I didn't think about that. That was one of the stupid things that I did. I didn't think about it.
Well,
it didn't occur to me that
it's got to get paid for somehow, right?
Right. And in a normal world with a normal thought process, that would occur to you.
Yeah.
But Bill wasn't living in a normal world with normal thought processes at that time.
Okay.
And so I just figured it would get taken care of somehow, but I didn't have a plan.
All right. Well, this is a conversation I think we need to continue. We've got other callers, and we've got people emailing me, so can we resume this conversation next week?
Yeah, why don't we do that?
And I apologize to the people who have called in and have not gotten on. Please leave a voicemail, and we'll get that question to Bill next week. Thanks for calling in. Thank you, Seal, and we'll take a short break and be back.